From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. This past Monday, President Donald Trump nominated the former Republican mayor of Syracuse, New York, Roy Bernardi, to one of the remaining four vacancies on the United States Postal Service Board of Governors. With Congress set to adjourn shortly, it is unclear whether Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell will fast-track the nomination, placing it on the Senate calendar and batch it with pending nominations requiring Senate confirmation. Also, the bipartisan COVID-19 relief package that has been crafted in the Senate and currently pending before Congress would provide $10 billion in COVID-related relief to the United States Postal Service through forgiveness of a $10 billion line of credit. Now that we've got the latest news out of the way, I am deeply humbled to be able to introduce this week's guest on Naps Chat. Our guest on Naps Chat is this nation's first Postmaster General, Benjamin Franklin. As you may know, Dr. Franklin has not been physically present for the past 230 years. However, his spirit continues to envelop our national postal system, as well as our country as a whole. Benjamin Franklin is one of only a handful of Americans who affixed his name to both the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. He was a newspaper man, an editor of the Pennsylvania Gazette, a diplomat, an inventor, and an eternal optimist. Welcome to Naps Chat, Dr. Franklin.
Greetings, Robert, my good man and friend. How are you?
I am doing well, and I am so honored to have you on the program today on Naps Chat. I want to indicate to our listeners that you penned a written response to my recent open letter to you in the National Association of Postal Supervisors December edition of its magazine. However, in my response, I suggested this means of communication, a podcast, as a suitable venue for our discourse. What do you think of the concept of a podcast, Mr. Franklin?
Robert, any form of communication where different perspectives, ideas, and information can be shared with each other or in a group in a civil and humane manner will always be agreeable to me. Also, this mode of communication does not require of me to present oneself in formal attire, which is very pleasing to me.
And also, you probably don't need to wear your glasses if you choose not to.
That is another advantage.
Now, Mr. Franklin, you mentioned civility of discourse, and I'm sure during your visit to our time period, you noted the political controversy that is taking place, particularly as it may impact an institution with which you are closely associated, the post office. You were no foreigner to postal controversy. In fact, you were removed as the colonial postmaster general of the American colonies by King George III. What do you make of the controversy about the Postal Service today and its relationship with the current president of the United States?
Robert, as you mentioned, His Highness King George III relieved me of my duties as Postmaster General of British America, mainly due to my reluctance and ultimately disobeying his edict of not allowing the delivery of mail that was adverse to his rule over the colonies. Any correspondence that challenged his order of rule or hinted at independence were not to be delivered under any circumstances. It was a threat to his position of power. Now, currently in my research, I surmised that there was a survey that was conducted by a Pew Research Center. The results of that survey showed that 91% of the respondents were favorable to the U.S. Postal Service. One would think that our current president would somehow take advantage of such a popular government agency, but adversely, he demonized it, especially during the election, which ultimately was not a wise move on his part. Need I say more?
Thank you, Mr. Franklin. Now, no doubt, as a signatory to the United States Constitution on the behalf of the state of Pennsylvania, you are familiar with the provision in Article 1, Section 8 that charges Congress with establishing post offices and post roads. How do you think Congress is doing in protecting our nation's postal treasure?
This question requires me to begin with some words of wisdom and to end with some words of wisdom. So here we go. When the well is dry, we know the worth of the water. If our Congress continues to ignore the needs of the Postal Service, one day the American citizenry will know the worth of the U.S. Postal Service. The Postal Service needs the flexibility to adapt to residential and business mail delivery needs. And let me just close with these words of wisdom. When you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Thank you for those words of wisdom, Mr. Franklin. When you were Postmaster General, the primary function of the postal system that you sort of governed primarily dealt with commercial mail, bills, invoices, and so forth, as well as periodicals. And you reference residential mail, which wasn't really an issue during your time period. This change, how does it change your view of what the Postal Service's responsibilities and obligations are?
This question was really baffling to me because I thought I had developed a postal system, okay, that would adapt and evolve as time went on and our country evolved. So I think that the Postal Service has kept up with the needs of the public under such adverse and sometimes negative publicity.
Now, as you know, the Electoral College this week, this past week, confirmed the results of a presidential election that was conducted over a month ago. In Pennsylvania, the Electoral College ballot box for this election and the election of electors, and that ballot box was constructed by you. What's your reaction to the recognition of your legacy in the conduct of this year's election, particularly in the state of Pennsylvania?
I am deeply honored, but not surprised, that the ballot box has survived the test of time. Good old American workmanship. But let me also mention that the day the Electoral College confirmed those results was the same day my good friend George Washington passed away. Such a fitting tribute to a man who guided a fledgling country to its present-day greatness.
Thank you. I want to talk about the election a bit. During your lifetime, smallpox and tuberculosis were two prominent diseases that plagued colonial America in the early part of our history, or this country's history. We are now hopefully emerging from the scourge of a disease referred to as COVID-19, a global viral infection. The contagious nature of this virus provided the opportunity for our national mail system, your postal service, to deliver democracy for our country through the use of absentee ballots. Over 65 million Americans availed themselves to this means of voting. I believe that there were only about 4 million Americans in the year 1790. I'm curious about your impression of how your post office played a consequential role in delivering democracy for America in the year 2020.
Robert, I personally felt an overwhelming sense of pride of how the United States Postal Service completed its mission day in and day out under those circumstances. And I wish to acknowledge with the utmost gratitude the efforts put forth by all the Postal Service employees who worked under threat of the virus and performed their duties exemplary and without hesitation. It is a true tribute to such a great workforce in this nation.
I'd like to explore your role as Postmaster General of the United States. And that role has changed over the past 250 years. As well as the postal services or post office's responsibilities. As I mentioned previously, during your tenure, the post office conveyed mail between post offices, personal and commercial correspondence, and periodicals. now there has been an explosion of packages being conveyed with a diminishing volume of correspondence and periodicals. The post office now has private sector competition, as well as competition with something known as the internet. And I'm not quite sure to what extent, Mr. Franklin, you're familiar with the concept of the internet. But mail right now is delivered generally 7 days a week to residences, not just post offices, across our 50 states, not the original 13 colonies. What insight can you provide to us as we move forward, you know, looking back at the history of where we started, where we are, and where we're going to in the future?
Again, let me put the ball in the lap of Congress and implore them to allow flexibility for the Postal Service to serve the needs of the public. I've had a few ideas. For instance, banking services. The Postal Service, with its infrastructure and being a building being available in every community where maybe a bank is not, wouldn't it be advantageous to the public for maybe payroll check cashing ability at your post office or a payday loan for their citizens that are struggling week to week to make ends meet? And you mentioned the internet, which would play right in to the needs of our citizenry, maybe putting internet cafes within the larger post offices. So those that don't have Wi-Fi service or the ability to get on an internet computer would have that ability by just going to their local post office. Copying and faxing availability were applicable. And then this, and maybe the larger offices, or maybe some of the offices then accommodate, to rent vendor space. Can you imagine going in, picking up your mail, and in the post office, picking up a coffee to take to wherever you be employed, or having a coffee while you read your mail? All bringing revenue in to the Postal Service, which, may I add, that is the way that they pay their bills. They do not take any tax dollars to pay their bills.
Dr. Franklin, you were known, among other things, as the premier inventor of the century in which you lived. So if you could invent one item, just one item, to aid the Postal Service today, what do you think it would be?
Well, I would love to hear the reaction of your listeners when I give you the answer to this, but you can survey them maybe at a later date. I'm thinking of a molecular transport portal. Now, hear me out. It can be used for parcels that weigh 1 pound or less in weight, something that the size that would fit into your current rural mailbox. And this would be instantaneous delivery of vital or sensitive materials. Imagine at a healthcare facility, someone needs a test done immediately, but they have to take the vial of blood and send it off to a lab, and the results come back in maybe 5 to 7 days. Can you imagine putting that test sample in this portal, having it sent out instantaneously and getting the results back in a day or two, something important like that, or documents that needed to be at a certain destination and the people were waiting for them. Drop it in the portal, it's there instantaneously. There would be a premium cost factor to it, but can you imagine the Postal Service having that type of innovation available, and then I'm sure other government agencies would expand off of that. But we may be talking beyond the 21st century, so please don't chuckle too much, or your readers, please don't think it's too ridiculous.
Well, it only took around 100 years from your sort of recognition of electricity via lightning and the key and the kite to the sort of discovery of electricity in a laboratory by Thomas Alvin Edison and others who made use of that form of electricity, whether it be the light bulb or using it for telephone communication. So it may not be as outlandish as some would suspect.
That is a valid point, Robert. Thank you.
My last question to you, Dr. Franklin. As you may know, a young American actor, singer, and playwright, Lin-Manuel Miranda, produced a Broadway musical about your fellow American patriot, Alexander Hamilton. It won numerous awards. It is my understanding that you were written out of the script. In fact, there was a song that was about you in the original version of the musical. Do you have any hard feelings with regard to Alexander Hamilton or Lin-Manuel Miranda for you not being in the musical Hamilton?
Robert, the human imagination has no bounds. Such a masterpiece deserves all its awards. As far as hard feelings or envy, I have none. I was nearly 50 years older than Mr. Hamilton. And with that said, it was probably a generational thing. But let me just add this footnote. There have been only two non-presidents portrayed on American paper currency. Mr. Hamilton, and of course, yours truly. Mr. Hamilton is on the $10 note. I am on the $100 note.
Touché, Mr. Franklin. Touché. Dr. Franklin, I want to thank you for joining us on Naps Chat and for awakening from your 240-year slumber.
You are so welcome. It's good to be with you.
I also want to thank Bumaseen Vermont Postmaster Robert Crowley for his interpretation of Benjamin Franklin, with whom he is very well acquainted. Robert Crowley is an old friend of mine and a great sport. I want to thank you, Bob, for joining us this today and to bring us a early holiday gift to our listeners.
You're welcome, Bob. Anytime.
That is great. And I can't thank you much for this really joyful and interesting exploration of one of our country's, actually our country's first patriot, Benjamin Franklin.
Yep. Thank you.
To our listeners, as I said, consider this week's Napchat an early holiday gift to you. As always, if you enjoy Napchat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast show. And more important, tell your friends to download our podcast and listen in. Be well and be safe till next week.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter. And maybe